Alright, go ahead, man.
Tell me, Nate, how do you get it all done?
Well, I don't get it all done. I mean, I think that's a point. I make a decision about what the most important things are that need to get done to drive my business forward. Once I make that decision, I get laser focused and knock them out.
So you make it snappy.
I make it snappy.
From Tampa, Florida, you're listening to the Make It Snappy Productivity Show. Executing your purpose.
What's mindful, Snappy Nation? You thought I was going to say what's snapping in, didn't you? Okay, well, fine. Twist my arm. What's snapping in, Snappy Nation? You're listening to the Make It Snappy Productivity Show, the only show that combines productivity with purpose for all you entrepreneurial parents out there who want your time back in this era where overwhelm is normal and overtime is expected. I'm your host, your man with the focus plan, the guy whose never-ending mindfulness continues to abound. Okay, that was a little much. My wife would certainly tell you otherwise. In fact, I think she has done that on air, my lack of mindfulness at home. But regardless, my name is Nick Snapp, and I am so incredibly grateful you dedicated your time to Make It Snappy today. Thanks so much for tuning in to Make It Snappy Productivity Show. And you know what? It's easy to be productive, but it's not always easy to be productive in the right areas. These are some really insightful words from my good friend from our neighboring country to the north, Canada's own Bruce Langford from the Mindfulness Mode podcast. My man Bruce is one of my favorite podcasters because he helps people become more calm, focused, and happy using mindfulness. And who doesn't want that? For well over a decade, he's also helped hundreds of students and adults around the world through their bullying situations. Yes, bullying. Throughout his career in bully prevention, Bruce found himself increasingly using mindfulness techniques to help kids and grown-ups regain confidence and find happiness. I am super excited to have Bruce on Make It Snappy today. One, because he's got such a smooth, calm, soothing voice. I can listen to him all day long and immediately find myself in a better place, a bit more relaxed. But, you know, second, he provides such incredible value in this particular interview. I can't wait for you to listen. Bruce's insight is incredible. I think I said incredible twice. It's miraculous. Whatever. Bruce is awesome. He makes the connection for us between mindfulness and focus, which is the topic of the month. And I love listening to Bruce's perspective on how it all relates to productivity. I won't keep you in suspense any longer, Snappation. I'm pleased to present to you on the Make It Snappy Productivity Show in support of what's become our very popular topic of the month, focus. Here's Mr. Bruce Langford. We're here today with Bruce Langford on the Make It Snappy Productivity Show. And Bruce, I'm just elated to have you on the podcast today. How's it going?
Hey, Nick, it is great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me on your show. This is a real honor.
Well, I appreciate that. And it was an honor being on your show, Mindfulness Mode. You are an expert in mindfulness and you, as you call it, reaching new heights of calm, focus, and happiness. And as we talked about before, this month's topic on the Make It Snappy Productivity Show is achieving focus. So it's all about focus. So we're focusing on focus, if that makes sense. And I thought about you and I thought about mindfulness and how they are tied together. And I just wanted to dig in a little bit with you and get your perspective on that relationship. But the first thing I usually do when we start with guests is to make sure that we don't have to be on the same page with productivity, but just so our listeners know your thoughts on productivity, because not everyone really has the same idea for what it means to live and work productively. So from your perspective, what do you feel like being productive means to you?
Well, to me, being productive is, well, being productive in the right place. And yesterday I was doing a speaking engagement. There was a lot of travel involved. So I was listening to Tim Ferriss yesterday and his 4-hour work week. I love to go back to Tim and some of his thoughts and ideas.
Sure.
And, you know, one of the things is being productive at the right things. And so you have to be all the time asking yourself the right questions. What am I trying to achieve? Where am I going? Who am I? What am I about? And if you really are asking yourself those questions, then you're going to have a better idea of where you're going. Because one of the problems with productivity, as I see it, is that, man, it's easy to be productive. it's just not always easy to be productive in the right areas. And as Tim Ferriss says, you know, you can just spend your life being productive and working on details that don't necessarily matter that much. So I always ask myself these kinds of questions. And one of the main questions I ask in my business at any given time is what I'm doing right now advancing me in my business? Is what I'm doing right now going to help me earn income in my business? Mm. And it may sound a little bit mercenary, but it really is not, because we can only move forward in our businesses if our business are generating income, because if they're not, after all, it's really just a hobby, isn't it?
It sure is.
Those are some of my thoughts about productivity, Nick.
I couldn't agree more. And it's easy for us to get in the mindset of, well, we're working, we're busy, so we're making progress on our business, but not asking those scary questions that come along with that mindset that, am I working on the right things? And how do I know? And that's how Tim and so many others, even including myself, have made a living on weeding through the unclear paths of being productive and figuring out how can you move forward. So I completely agree. It's not about checking those things off your list and making sure that you're getting all these things done. It's just like you said, it being productive at the right times.
Right.
So I love that.
And you know, I really love the things that you teach, Nick, because you really resonate with me and you really seem to have productivity nailed. And that is that you are after the right things in your life. You know, you're about family. You are about, you know, your own business, which is coaching and helping others. But you really put the other person first and put family first. And as well, you put God first. And I think it's really important that a person like you, you know what you want to put first in your life. And I think that's the bottom line to productivity. And I also think it's the bottom line in mindfulness, is getting centered, getting focused, and knowing the answers to those kinds of questions.
Oh, I love that you said that. And thanks so much for the shout out there, Bruce. I mean, it's you ask yourself the question, you know, and I ask clients this question all the time. It's like, if money wasn't an issue, you know, if we didn't have to be in business, then how would you spend your time? You know, that's both a mindfulness question and a productivity question. You know, it's like, what would you do with your time? And then how do you focus on that goal? Whether it's God, whether it's family, or you know, whatever it is people are striving for, you've got to know that purpose. If it's not rooted in purpose, then there's no productivity there in my eyes.
Yeah, so. You're right. And you know, for years having worked in bullying prevention, I ask myself that question a lot, because I mean, I was being paid always, or not always, but a lot of times, you know, to do speaking engagements and presentations, I was being paid. But sometimes I thought, wow, some of the organizations, schools, businesses that really value this the most really don't have as much money to spend on this as they would like. And so I asked myself that question. I thought, yeah, I would love to be able to have, you know, the ability to just go out and give this to people, you know, to help people who really need the help and not necessarily have to be paid. But, you know, that's not always possible. But I did think, you know, different times when I would get grants, this is really great, because I would offer this service to people that really needed it and didn't have the funding. So that was great, because I loved helping people with the anti-bullying theme. But then it moved into mindfulness, because it became totally obvious that by being mindful, it just absolutely reduces bullying, both in children and adults. You know, we Yes. all seem to be able to, I don't know, be better people and care more for each other and see the world as a place where we're all one. We're all out there to kind of enrich each other's lives. So I really like that question, Nick.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that you bring that up, the why and the bullying. And then you look at just entrepreneurs that are out there that are just saying, grind, you know, like Gary Vee says all the time, you know, you gotta work hard, you know, sleep. I don't know if he said, I don't want to quote, I'm not a huge Gary Vee fan, but I do watch some of his stuff. But it's basically the impression that I get is, you gotta be working all the time. Turn off.
Yes, he definitely gives that. He just tells you, you know, if you know, you just got to keep working, sleep as little as possible, get up, work some more, work some more, work some more. That's his kind of ongoing theme, isn't it?
Sure, sure. And he's a great guy. He's inspired a lot of people. You know, mm-hmm. go out there and crush your goals. And I'm in different Facebook groups, and you read that sort of thing as high performance lifestyle. I completely believe in high performance, but then it goes back to okay, I don't see a lot of emphasis on the why at all.
Right.
And I think that if it's just about achieving performance, getting to the peak and realizing, okay, now I'm at the peak, well, then what's next? And the getting there is not as, I guess, once you're there, you sort of lose sight of the journey and the process and the why. And if you don't have your why rooted into that journey, and yeah, you're not only are you going to move this thing forward because of your why, you know, once you achieve it, but then along the way, you've embedded that and you're deliberate and very conscious of how you spend your time and why you're doing what you're doing, then I think the journey overall is just so much smoother and so much more fulfilling.
Oh, yeah, I do too, Nick. And I think back, you know, to when I was first starting some of the work I was doing, and I was just really pushing and trying to accomplish so much. Sure. And then I started realizing that somehow you just kind of have to allow things to happen. And at first that seemed very foreign to me, you know, this whole idea of just kind of letting go and not pushing so hard and just kind of relaxing in such a way that things just happen on their own. But, you know, when I first started doing my musical presentations that I do for students and high school kids on the topic of bullying, I remember that I just pushed myself to memorize the words, memorize the script, get it all right. I wanted it to be seamless. Right. I wanted everything to flow perfectly. And so I was just working so hard on that. And then one day when I was presenting, suddenly it came to me. And that was that, hey, Bruce, you don't have to memorize all this. You don't have to have every single thing in your head. All you have to do is know what you're doing now. Mm-hmm. You just have to know the words of that verse of the song that you're singing right now, just that verse. You don't need anything else. When you get to the next verse, that's when you need to know that. And it sounds kind of unusual maybe, but it was a realization that, you know, I just needed to take one step at a time and focus on now, and the rest of it would just fall into place. And so I was able to relax and allow it to happen. And it was all like way easier after that.
Wow, that sounds like it's maybe a segue into my question about mindfulness, because you've, to me, that describes mindfulness at its core. But, you know, Bruce, besides your, and I listen to your show, Mindfulness Mode, so besides your, you know, calm and soothing voice helping me focus on the mindfulness, what type of attitude or mindset do Make It Snappy listeners or any listeners out there need to have in order to just have the best shot at achieving these new heights of calm, focus, and happiness, as you describe mindfulness?
Well, I really believe, Nick, that the attitude of helping people is something that can just be central in all of our lives. And if you really believe in that, if you genuinely want to help people, no matter what your job is, no matter what it is that you work on every day, if that is the center of your focus, then I honestly believe that you're going to be a happier person. You're going to be a more grounded person, because we are all in this together in this universe. You know, we work together, we help each other. And if you have that attitude, I think it just helps us have an inner happiness that is difficult to describe. And I think mindfulness is central to that.
Oh, man, I couldn't agree more. And it kind of leads into what you said earlier about letting things go. I think if you're helping people, you've changed that mindset in which you can give yourself the freedom to let things go and let things happen to you. I know that when I let things go, that's when doors started opening up for me. When I stopped focusing so much on what I wanted and try to think about how I could help other people and said, okay, I'm giving this up. It is what it is. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. I'm going to take this path, but I'm not going to worry about the outcome. I'm going to be very, very highly engaged and let go of those, how do I describe it? These things that were so embedded deep in my mind of what I wanted to achieve, and letting it go and letting it flow the way it should be, I think is a piece of mindfulness. Would you agree?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you're right.
Very nice. So what do you think? Could you tell us a story? And you started to tell us with your musical career and doing your bully prevention programs, but how you discovered the connection between mindfulness and improved focus?
Well, that was one of the ways that I discovered it, is that I was trying so hard and pushing myself so hard. And then it just hit me that, hey, Bruce, just do this one step at a time. Mm-hmm. Just focus on this. And sometimes just before I would go on, I'd be like so nervous, you know, there'd be so much fear there, which is natural when you're presenting and performing and doing talks and that kind of thing. But then I remember one day I just thought, well, just a second, like, why are you doing this? Like, do you love it or not? Like, is this something you enjoy or not? And if the answer is yes, you need to just back up a little bit and make sure you're enjoying it all the time as much as possible. I mean, there are going to be moments that might not be perfect, but I was able to just kind of take a step back and just start enjoying it a lot more. And I remember that day when I was like, it's kind of unusual that I can think back. It was in 2005, and I was presenting in front of a particularly large group. A lot of my groups, I tried to keep them under 300, just because I wanted to have more of a sense of intimacy. I could communicate with the audience more. So if the audiences were bigger, I would ask to have two presentations or more. And that particular day, I was presenting to a group of over 800 students. And so it was really a lot. And I was a little nervous about being able to reach everybody and make a difference. But before I went out there, I just kind of closed my eyes, did some deep breathing, and just thought about how I wanted to reach them and what the message would be that I was hoping they would take away. And the one thing that I really thought was, Bruce, enjoy this. Just enjoy every moment. And I can still remember myself backstage, you know, shutting my eyes and thinking about this and thinking about that idea of, you know, if you're not going to enjoy it, don't do it. Just like relax and enjoy it. This is your thing. You don't have a boss. You just created this yourself. You know, this is all a good thing. You don't need to feel as though you're under the gun and you're under pressure and what'll happen if you mess something up. And no, don't even entertain those thoughts. Just relax, go out there and enjoy it. And you know what I noticed was that the audiences seemed to be more connected after that. After I changed my attitude, there was way more connection. A lot more people would come up after, and they would ask me for autographs, and they would ask me for advice and things like that. So I think it really made a difference, Nick, when I changed that attitude.
Oh, man. I never would have made that connection about enjoying it. Well, with mindfulness, sure, but then it seems like you're saying there's a direct connection between your ability to focus and your mindset in whether or not you're enjoying what you're doing.
Well, exactly. And the thing is with focus, I'm sure you've heard the acronym follow one course until success. Well, I was just doing these presentations in schools and, you know, I could have started, you know, changing it up and doing different things and kind of moving all over the place because I have a lot of different interests. I'm a musician and I like to do different things. Like I've been a church music director for years. And so there were a lot of different things that I like to do in my life. But at the same time, I thought, you know what, this is working. I'm really helping a lot of students and teachers as well. And I'm just going to keep focusing on this. And so that's why year after year, I just kept you know, putting the word out there, hey, this is what I do, this is what I offer. If you're interested, let me know. And I just kept getting all kinds of people contacting me and saying, yeah, we'd really like you to come to our school. And it wasn't something I really had to push. I just had to let them know what I had to offer and put it out there. So I think with focus, you just get this feeling that what you're doing is the right thing, and you focus on it and you stay focused on it and you just keep moving forward with it. So I think focus is a great word to be centered on for the month, Nick. It's something that we all can benefit from.
I appreciate that. So when you put yourself out there and you said you made yourself available, and this is maybe just a practical application for everyone listening. A lot of times when you're selling your services or you're getting the message out, a lot of times, and I know for myself, I've experienced it, it's not fun. It's not enjoyable. Yeah. And there needs to be some sort of element to making it fun and enjoyable. Have you found any tactics or parts in your experience getting your message out and selling your services that you've come to enjoy more?
Well, I think the fact that I just focus on the positive even more. Like when somebody comes up to me after a presentation and they say, hey, you know, that really helped me. Thank you very much. I really liked such and such. You know, I really liked what you said about. Then I don't just kind of move on to the next thing. Like I store that in my mind. I think about that. And sometimes I say to the person, hey, do you mind if I just jot that down, what you just said? Oh, because, you know, if I don't, then, you know, a few minutes later, it can be gone. I can think, you know, that person said something pretty cool to me, but I'm not exactly sure what they said. And so a lot of times I would jot it down. And if it happened to be a teacher or a principal saying it, I would say, hey, do you mind if I jot that down and just use that as a reference? Because there are many other teachers in other schools that would like to have that same benefit that you just have expressed to me.
Well, that's incredible.
Almost always, almost 100% of the time, they say, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. So I've had like many, many references of that sort over the years that have really helped then for others to know that is what we want to have at our school. That's the kind of presentation.
Bruce, that made me think of a couple different things. One, it's affecting your business for the positive and you being able to use those testimonies to put on get the word out of the great things that you do and letting other people see that people really value your services. But the other thing that made me think about, because we talked about Tim Ferriss earlier and I listened to his podcast quite a bit and obviously read his books, but is this thing he calls the jar of awesome, where he writes down on little pieces of paper things like that. And it's not only helping his, well, it doesn't help his business per se, because he's pretty good, he said, but yeah. But it does help his mindset. Because it's hard for people like me as well to celebrate those successes. My wife and I were talking about this recently, is if we had a jar of awesome for each one of our kids, every time they did something really, really good, taking a little piece of paper, folding it up, putting it in the jar of awesome. And then when we run into challenges or issues and we feel a little bit more down in the dumps, then we can go into that awesome jar and pull it out and read it and get ourselves feeling a little bit better about where we're at and what we've accomplished.
Yeah, Nick, so. It's such a great thing to do, really is. And especially with kids, because, you know, I mean, kids sometimes they feel like everything they're doing is wrong, because sometimes, you know, like we're busy as adults and we're kind of keeping an eye on things. And what are the things that we mention, you know, when we need to? Well, if you're, you know, maybe not following your manners, you're maybe not doing your homework, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. And so it's a great thing to have a jar of awesome to encourage our kids and be positive and help them feel empowered.
So Bruce, in the POP group, the Productive on Purpose group, then you can hold me accountable for making sure that we get our jars of awesome done. Because you're a member of the group. Yes. What do you think? We had the event, you had the music production, and you got the wisdom from your colleague to tell you just to focus on one thing at that moment versus the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So it clued you in on this idea of bully prevention and how critical mindfulness was in that world. What was it like when you started taking that information and applying it to your everyday life? Was there a transformation, or was it something you always did, or how did that look for you?
Well, what happened was I started to meditate. I started just every morning, I would just take time to just, you know, pause, be quiet, just think and actually turn my thoughts down. And when I started to do that, I realized, it didn't take much time, just a couple of weeks of doing that. And then I started to realize that I felt a deeper sense of calm. I just felt more relaxed. And then I noticed if I missed a day, or if there was one day when I had to just do 5 minutes or something, I just didn't feel the same. And so then I just made it a priority to do at least 20 minutes of that. And I also made it a priority that if I was having a particularly hectic day, that I would just take a little break, take some time out and have some quiet time and bring myself down and just think, yeah, what's that thing about happiness that I've got going on? Like, what's this? I'm trying to accomplish this for what reason? And, you know, then I'd take a few breaths and start to just feel so much better. So that really did make a difference almost right away, Nick.
Dad, I'm always tired of people asking for my email address.
What are you talking about, Ethan? You don't even have an email address. You're 4 years old. Do you even know what email is?
Dad, that's not the point. Do you have a guide to help moms and dads get their time back, right?
Right.
Andrew's mom told me she wants your guide, but she doesn't have it because she thinks you're going to spam her.
Spam her?
Yeah, when she downloads your guide and she gives you her email address, you're going to spam her.
I'm not going to spam Andrew's mom.
Whatever.
Look, my email's at value, okay? But tell Andrew's mom, and I'll tell all of you, Snappy Nation, my guide for creating 71 more minutes per day for your family. You can have it right now. No email address. Just go to the website and download the guide. Go on, go to makeitsnappyshow.com/guide. Download all my hard work in exchange for nothing. No email address, no name, nothing. You having the guide is important, and you getting your time back is much more important to me than putting you on my email list. So go to makeitsnappyshow.com/guide and download it with no email required.
I'm proud of you, Dad.
I'm proud of you, buddy.
They'll finally make it snappy, won't they?
They better. They better. Do you think that, or do you have some sort of ritual that you go through to do your meditation, or is it when it just, the spirit moves you to take it some time off? How does that work for you?
Well, yes, I have like a morning practice I follow, and as soon as I get up, I have a shower, and then I meditate before I do anything else, you know, and I make it a point. You know, I don't check email. I don't check my phone. I don't check anything else. I just do that meditation thing right away. And then after that, and I set a timer just to make sure that I'm kind of on track. Although even if I forgot to set my timer, I pretty much know that it's 20 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. But then I journal after that. And okay. So I always follow that with a little bit of journaling time. And I really find that it helps a lot, the journaling part of it, where I'm just answering those questions that I mentioned earlier. Just who am I? What do I want to accomplish in this world? And you know, just jot down whatever comes into my mind. And sometimes I think, geez, I don't even know what I'm going to write. And as soon as the pen hits that paper, something gets written. Yeah. And then it just seems to be valuable. So I just find that journaling makes a big difference for me. And then after that, I generally work out for a few minutes, and sometimes for 15 or 20 minutes. Sometimes it's not quite that long, depending on my day. But I find that that really helps too. And it's just almost part of the mindfulness as well, that working out time. And it helps me stay focused and be centered and, like you say, reach new heights of calm, focus, and happiness, right, which is like my tagline.
Like you say, yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned that earlier. So,
for sure.
Yeah, and it's my tagline because that's what resonates with me. And so I found out it resonates with others too.
Oh, that's great. And did you start with 20 minutes right out of the box? Because that can be, and I'm just speaking for myself selfishly, that's it can be intimidating. 20 minutes is a long time for someone that's not used to meditating.
Yeah, it can be intimidating. And I listened to what others said, and they said the number one thing about meditating is don't judge yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't beat yourself up. If you meditate for 5 minutes and you stop and you feel the need to stop, just do it. Don't then say, oh, why did you only do it for 5 minutes? You know, and so I really keep that front and foremost in my mind that I'm not going to judge myself. If I have a meditation time when my mind seems to be going crazy all over the place, thinking about all sorts of things, you know, I do say to myself, okay, Bruce, calm down, but I don't, you know, afterwards say, well, that was a waste of time, you know. and in answer to your question, yes, I started with just 3 or 4 minutes and then 5 minutes and built up. And then okay. I always would meditate every morning and every night as well. I meditated for a long time in the evenings, and that really helped me too. I think it helped to get me to the place where I just sleep soundly every single night, or almost every single night. I have a very sound sleep. And so that meditation time before I went to sleep really helped me.
Well, that's excellent. And that's 20 minutes as well?
Yes.
Yeah. And you journal for how long do you typically journal after your meditation?
It's usually about 10 minutes.
That sounds like an excellent morning ritual. And what about your practice for meditation tactically? Do you focus on your breathing? Is it embedded or integrated somehow with your faith and your prayer? How does that look for you?
I have mantras, and it's usually the same mantra for, you know, a couple of months. And it's basically, you know, I just kind of bring myself back to that. And it's really about being creative and sharing with the universe, because that's how for me, that's how I can help others, is using my creativity to put what I have to offer out there for others, and then they will decide whether it works for them. So that's what I do. And yes, sometimes I focus on my breathing. I don't all the time. Like every second I'm meditating, I'm not thinking of my breath, but I know some people do that and it helps them. But I focus more on mantras.
So you just, the thoughts, you think the same thing repeatedly in your head?
Yes. Okay. Yes, especially if I find that my mind is going all over the place, then that helps me to calm down and be more centered.
Oh, I like that. That's excellent. And then that's the meditation part, and that kind of got you started in this path of mindfulness. What about throughout the day? And obviously, the more you're meditating, the more calm you are, the better your focus. But is there anything throughout the day that would help trigger you to know that you're being mindful, you're making progress on your mindfulness? What are
yes,
your thoughts on that?
I think there is. I think just stopping and thinking to myself at this moment, okay, am I really here? Am I really thinking about the moment? Mm-hmm. Or am I just jumping ahead and thinking about what needs to be accomplished and what I need to be doing tomorrow and all this stuff? And not that planning is a bad thing, of course, but I do find that I have to remind myself to live in the moment. And I do that. I do that throughout the day. And I remind myself, you know, am I really being happy? Am I feeling happy right at this moment? Mm. And sometimes I feel like if I'm not feeling that happy, I just need to get out into nature. And nature is what really does it for me a lot of the time. I have a ravine and woods just outside my office window, my studio here. And there's a trail that I can go out there and I can just walk down by the water, down by the river, and just take a few minutes to just relax and take in some nature. And then later get back to work. And that just seems to revive me, refresh me.
That sounds delightful. I need to come out there and check that out. And
yeah, you need
out
to
your studio at some point for sure.
Yeah,
I love that. Are there any other practices, with the exception of meditation, that you developed to help improve your focus?
Yes, I think there are a number of different things that I do, and I use them when I work with other people and when I coach people. Sometimes something will just pop into my mind. What you've described to me as they're talking to me tells me that you need to do such and such, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. And a lot of it comes back to jotting things down, and it may be considered journaling by that person, or it may not. But sometimes just taking the time to just jot down, even in point form, you know, it can make a difference, because it can give you a list of what's on your mind right now, and then it relieves your mind. So you kind of know, oh yeah, I jotted that down. I don't have to keep running it over and over and over in my mind.
The endless loop.
Yeah, the endless loop, exactly. And so for that reason, I carry a notebook and I jot things down at various times throughout the day. And I mean, I do have an iPhone, and I could record it there. But a lot of times I just find that the actual act of writing it in my notebook is something that really works for me.
Do you have a favorite notebook?
Yeah, I do. And it's funny that you say that, because here, I don't know if you have them in the United States, but we have stores called Dollarama, and they had the kind of notebook I really liked. And so then I went one day to get some more, and they no longer carried them.
Oh, no.
And I was so stressed out. And I'm like, okay, Bruce, you know, if you're stressed out, that's not being mindful. You know, you just got to just relax about this thing, you know, that this notebook is not available anymore. And so one day I was doing a presentation in another town, and I took a break during my lunchtime, and I went out and I saw this store called Dollar Tree. And I thought, well, you know what? It's a long shot. I'll just go in there. And they had such a big assortment of notebooks. And they had these small little notebooks that were absolutely perfect. And they were bound in such a way that they were so durable. The pages never fell out or anything like that.
Very cool.
And so I bought some of them, and I always have them on hand. So I do have a specific one that I like to use. And it's just a small notebook with lines, and it just works for me because it's thin enough that I can carry it in my pocket, and it's not bulky or anything.
Right. And this is just getting down into the weeds. And by the way, we do have Dollar Tree down here in Florida. I don't think we have Dollarama. We have Dollar Tree for sure. Right. There's all kinds of spinoffs, Dollar General.
And, yeah. Yeah.
But with the thing I always get tripped up on the notebook is the pen, because the notebook seems to be a lot easier to carry because it fits in your pocket. But the pen is like, do you attach it? Do you find a notebook that you attach it to, or how do you hold your pen?
For me, I carry a pen in my other pocket. So okay. I carry a pen, and I had pens created for my presentations. So I have pens that say stand up for respect, and pens that say different things depending on the themes of my presentations. So that way, not only do I have pens to give out to people to remind them of these thoughts and ideas, but then I would always have a pen myself because I'm always losing pens or giving them away. So that's a good thing. But then I would always be able to just reach in and get a couple more. So now I make it a habit of making sure I have a pen.
Well, that makes it very simple. I'm always overcomplicating things. The engineer inside of me and the perfectionist comes out at times. So, what do you think the number one actionable tip you would offer my listeners if they really were struggling with focus at work, that they could just go and apply immediately? If they could just hang up, or not hang up, because we're on the call, but they're listening. They could press stop on their smartphone and go implement immediately. What would you suggest?
I would just say, take out a piece of paper and a pencil, piece of paper and a pen, and just start writing right now. And don't even stop to think, oh, I don't know what I would write. Because that's what does stop us. Just take that piece of paper, that pen, and just start writing. And if you start writing and say, I really don't know what I'm going to write about, you know, you can write anything you want. And once you start writing, I just find that thoughts start to flow. And once those thoughts start to flow, it opens up an avenue for you. And you will learn from that. You will learn about yourself, and you will improve yourself as a result of it. And that's just something that I find really helps. And it's like exercise. Sometimes I think to myself, oh, I don't really feel like working out. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow, you know. And for some reason, I know, even though I know that it will make me feel good and it'll improve me in a lot of ways, sometimes there's an inner voice telling me, ah, do it tomorrow. Same thing with journaling. Mm-hmm. So I have to just say, Bruce, just do it. Just take out a piece of paper. Yeah. Just start writing. And even though sometimes it's hard to nail how it actually helps me, how it actually improves my life, then I look back and I say, whoa, I cannot believe what I wrote yesterday. I can't believe it, because I had no idea that that insight about myself was true. So it's almost like going to a friend, spilling your guts, and you don't even have to do that necessarily. Not all the time. Not that that's a bad thing, but
no, that's excellent advice, Bruce. And I would say that also don't think of it as a daunting thing. And just like exercise and journaling, just take it a small win, you know, just say, I'm only going to write a sentence down right now. And that's all. And then once you get in the groove, you're like, well, I could write more than a sentence, or that could be applied to meditation or exercise. I'm just going to do one push-up. Okay. I've done one. Now I'll do 10 or 20 or or 100.
I agree.
You know, just kind of get the ball rolling. It's the power of the small wins. Could you describe or let our listeners know something about you that most people don't know?
Well, I'm fascinated with planes, with airplanes. And I used to work, well, I worked at a school and it was just very close to an airport. And so I thought, well, geez, you know, I have a lunch period every day, you know, 40 to 60 minutes, you know, that's enough time. I could just go over to the airport and check it out. So I went over to the airport. It was a small town airport. Mm-hmm. And I walked in, and here are like about 6 or 8 older guys just kind of sitting around, like chewing the fat, just talking. Sure. And it was just really cool. And I just sat down with them and I said, hey, you know, I love flying. Are you guys all pilots? You know, and we just started talking. And I said, well, I'd love to go up in a plane. And the guy says, you want to go up in a plane? Let's go. And I thought, what? Okay. Are you kidding me? He says, yeah, I'll show you a few things. And I said, well, I can't go now, but I could come home, you know, back at 4 o'clock or something. He says, yeah, sure, I'll be here. And so I went back and we went up in the plane and he showed me different things. And after we did it a few times, he says, hey, you know, I'll just let go of the controls. Go for it. And it was a great feeling. I mean, it was really exciting. So he gave me, you know, I had a log book and logged some hours. And I just absolutely loved it. It was really exciting. So that's something that most people don't know about me.
Well, that's amazing, Bruce. And isn't it so cool, those times where you say yes, or you take that chance, you do that thing that maybe could have, to some people, been perceived as uncomfortable, and you know, I don't want to talk to these guys, they're busy or whatever, and you do it, and the magic that happens on the backside of that sometimes to me is just amazing with those kind of stories. So
yeah, it is magic for sure. And I remember my son was born around that time, and this guy said, well, you know, bring your wife over and, you know, we'll just take a little flight over your house and that kind of thing. And I'm not sure how old my son was, but I said, well, you know, I said to my wife, well, hey, you know, we could go up for just a little, you know, just a little getaway up
right
in the air. And she says, well, I don't know. I don't know about that with the baby. Right. And, you know, and so we talked to the guys and they're like, you know, it's fine. It's not going to be like, babies fly all the time, right? People take babies on planes, and it's not like we're going like really, really high altitudes or anything. We're just taking this little flight. It's no big deal. And so we did, we went up, we took the baby and Ben just basically slept through most of it. And that afterwards, we, you know, we enjoyed it so much, but my wife said, oh my gosh, I can't believe we actually did that. she just thought it was like, it's one of those things, we just kind of did it. And then afterwards we thought, well, it was kind of an unusual thing that we didn't really plan it exactly, but it was a memory that we all have. I mean, obviously Ben doesn't have it, but the two of us have it. And it was really exciting. It was really fun to take that little flight and have a look at our house and just tour around and, you know, the area where we live and everything. So it's kind of a cool memory.
Bruce, that is so cool. It's just encouraging the listeners to, you know, do those things that are a little outside of your comfort zone that you might have a little fear embedded with it, and the outcome, you could develop relationships that will last you a lifetime. I know for me, I've definitely experienced that. And as the productivity guy who always focuses on, you know, saying no, you know, learning how to say no to things, it's a little bit of a different shift in mindset. But I think you know what the right things are, you know, to say yes to. Instead of always trying to shut it down and stay focused on the right things. But I think there's times in life where it just, you get that gut feeling and you know, I need to talk to this person. I need to see what they're thinking about and open up the relationship. So that's incredible advice. Bruce, I've had so much fun talking to you. I'm so glad you're able to come on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. It's been really great talking with you too, Nick. And yeah, I really appreciate all the things that you're teaching about productivity. It's just so valuable in helping so many people in their lives.
Oh, thank you so much. And how could Make It Snappy listeners find you online? Oh, before you answer that question, I just want to congratulate you because you've surpassed 100,000 downloads on your podcast, Mindfulness Mode. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Publicly. Yeah. But how could people find you online?
Well, mindfulnessmode.com. That's my website. And you can find my podcast right there. And of course, you can go on iTunes and just simply type in Mindfulness Mode in the search bar and I'll come right up. And, you know, I've just really had a lot of fun with the podcast, just getting to know so many people from many different walks of life who practice mindfulness, practice meditation. They see mindfulness differently, but they find it something that really helps them with their success and helps them with their happiness. So yeah, check out Mindfulness Mode. I think you'll enjoy it.
Oh, that'd be great. And to let everybody know that our own Clem Herod was recently on your show, and give Clem a shout out. He did a great job.
Oh yes, he did. It was a great interview for sure.
And he's been on this show several times, at least once a month. He'll come on and Make It Snappy. But Bruce, thank you so much. We will link to all your information in the show notes. And I'm sure you'll have a mindful day, but I'll offer you, hopefully you'll have a purpose-driven, productive day as well. So thanks so much for being on.
Yeah, thanks, Nick.
All right, bye now. Bruce, I love you, man. Thanks so much for being on the Make It Snappy Productivity Show. Girls and guys, you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't take the time to listen to Mindfulness Mode with Bruce. You can go to mindfulnessmode.com, or I'll link to that in my show notes. Our own Dr. Clem Let It Flow Herod has been featured on Bruce's show, episode 107, I believe. We'll be sure to link to all of Bruce's contact information and content on our show notes at makeitsnappyshow.com/podcast. And if you're interested in being featured on my show, I'd love to coach you on the podcast. I don't do it often. I do it once per month. I coach someone on the podcast, and I'd love that someone to be you. If you're brave and you're looking for some great exposure for your business, text the word productive to 44222. And we'll get you all set up to be on the podcast, you know, if my team determines you're a good fit for the show, obviously. But if not, if you're not a good fit for whatever reason, as a Make It Snappy listener, I'll still give you up to 90 minutes of my time for a life-changing strategy session at no cost to you. So what do you have to lose? Nothing. I can't think of anything. Wait. No. Nothing. You've got absolutely nothing to lose. So text productive to 44222, and I'll help you move forward with your lofty goals and help you get your time back. All right, so I'll talk to you on our strategy session, but until then, you're listening to the Make It Snappy Productivity Show. My name is Nick Snap, and I encourage you to stay productive on purpose, baby. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Make It Snappy Productivity Show. I'm your host, Carter Snap.
Boy, what are you doing with my microphone? This is my show. Give me that.